Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 23rd, 2014. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am good. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. It's great to hear your voice. Another voice that's always great to hear, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Oh, it is good to hear my voice.
It is. It's like a ray of sunshine every day. Yeah. Speaking of rays of sunshine, I wanted to give a shout out to Alex, who is one of our listeners. He sent me a nice email thanking us for having such a great show.
That's nice.
Yeah. So thank you, Alex. I thought it would be interesting to start off today with something that could be really scary or could be really cool. And this is the news that Nest is buying Dropcam for $555 million. And the part that could make this scary for some people is the fact that Nest is owned by Google now. And of course, there are quite a few people that are concerned about just how much of their privacy is being stripped away by Google. And the idea of having cameras that that are monitoring the insides of our homes and potentially fall under Google's watchful eye, I can see where that could be concerning for some people. But Nest says that won't be the case.
Yeah, they say that won't be the case. It's it's interesting because it seems like what the folks at Dropcam are doing that Nest could have done on its own. That's the first thing. I mean, Dropcam has definitely had a successful business with this product, but I actually just found it to be a strange move.
I was surprised when I heard the news, and I was wondering if part of the purchase might have been not so much that they wanted this camera home monitoring business, but that they were also interested in the online data storage service that Dropcam offers. That's actually how they started. They wanted to give people this online storage for their own video content and realized that the cameras that were available just weren't up to the standards that they wanted. So then they got into the camera side of this as well.
What intrigues me is the approach that Google's taking in comparison to Apple. When you think about home automation at Apple, you think about things that are more maybe security oriented or more distantly related to your personal life. Like you set the thermostat. This is very helpful. You set the lights. You secure the locks. These are non-intrusive, helpful kinds of things. And I see Amazon with Firefly, and I see Google getting into things like, you know, at one time we were thinking about maybe there would be advertising on the Nest thermostat. They say no, but you never know. And then this thing about home monitoring video. It's interesting to see the different approaches of the two companies and what they think is useful to get into.
Well, and another thing that that I found to be very interesting, and this is something that Dave Hamilton mentioned when we were talking about this earlier this morning, was that the timing makes this look like a really smart move on Nest's part, because it shows the company operating independently of Google. And that may very well be a reassuring move for a lot of people that were kind of on the fence as to whether or not they should still trust Nest now that it's part of Google.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not buying that. If anything, what it made me think was that that Google bought Nest so that Google can buy products like Dropcam under, you know, a little bit of a pseudo umbrella.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because that is a thought that has crossed my mind too.
I think that's a good idea, Brian. I like it.
Now, the problem that I can see for Google with this is that they can't as easily just start sucking the data out of these cameras, because the whole Dropcam thing will fall under Nest's privacy umbrella, which means nothing that's collected from the cameras can be handed over to Google without user permission.
Yeah, today, that's true. But here's the deal. Google is a company predicated on knowing everything about us so that they can sell it. And to extend that further, Google is a company that has had some sort of pseudo-principled stand on the idea that none of us should be able to hide behind any kind of false identity. So we should all basically be having to do everything on the internet under our name, because, of course, that actually benefits Google quite a bit.
Sure.
So the idea of investing in products in my home that are owned by a company whose entire raison d'etre is to know stuff about me and sell it, it's just I'm not doing it, especially now that we have HomeKit.
And who also has been hacked by NSA, right, and had to go to extra special measures to secure their system.
Wait, who?
Google, right? I mean, there was this big fuss about how they had to change their security protocols. Yeah.
But supposedly Apple and everybody else was also cooperating with the NSA. So I don't know that that's much of a differentiator. I mean, the NSA, if the NSA is hacking Google, the NSA could end up hacking Apple, the NSA could end up hacking everybody. I mean, it's not much of a differentiator.
Yeah, except it goes to what you were talking about, the nature of the company and what it collects and what its interests are. That's all.
Okay,
so for both of you, do you feel comfortable if someone gave you a drop cam camera to set it up in your house for your own personal use?
Today, yes. Tomorrow, who knows?
How about you, Jim?
No, I wouldn't do it at all. I'd do a homebrew system where I have control over what I do with it, as opposed to buying somebody else's solution.
But that's not really necessarily related to Google, is it?
No. But, I mean, the answer to Jeff's question is no, I would not.
You know, do you remember ArcSoft is doing SimpliCam?
Right. So with that, you bring your own camera.
No, it's their camera.
Oh, it is their camera?
It's their camera, yeah. It's the camera is called SimpliCam. They have an infrastructure behind it that's similar to what DropCam is doing, but the branded camera that they're launching it with is SimpliCam.
Oh, you know, you're right. I was completely mixing that up with an old software-based service that I remember from years ago. But yeah, SimpliCam. Yeah.
It hasn't officially launched yet. They showed it off at CES. We actually covered that, but it hasn't officially launched yet. I think it's coming later this year.
Right. Okay. And that will be outside of Google's purview. And I'm curious if DropCam being bought by Nest will help boost sales of SimpliCam when it rolls out.
My assumption is that the people that care about the concerns that we have with Nest being owned by Google are relatively limited. That it's, you know, it's us, a couple other paranoid geeks.
And we probably aren't enough of the market to have a significant impact on sales.
Yeah.
So I'm curious who else is going to stay away from DropCam now. Listeners, let us know, because I'm curious how many of you are going to stay away from DropCam now. Okay, another piece that I wanted to take a look at, and I'm going to start with some well-deserved praise. Brian, you wrote a totally awesome piece on Friday comparing 13 of the online streaming music services.
Thanks.
And you're welcome. And
it was amazing.
Yeah, I have never seen a piece that that was this comprehensive. So thank you for taking the time to write that. And it was enlightening to me because I was far more interested in beats after reading your piece than I was before. And I found that to be quite surprising.
Yeah, so was I. I found the research to be enlightening myself. But it certainly became clear to me why Apple might have been interested in Beats Music, and I was absolutely one of those that was dismissive of the purchase from the beginning. I thought of Beats Music as a Me Too service that was a little bit late to the game, not as late, of course, as Amazon and Rhapsody's on Radio, but somewhat late to begin with. But you know, doing the research showed me that Beats is really, really focusing on the human curated side of the business, and I think that that's going to end up being a pretty big differentiator as we go forward.
I'm inclined to agree with you. Now, if you had asked me at this point last week, I would have dismissed Beats, but not so now. I am finally really being able to wrap my head around just exactly what Apple was seeing in this purchase. It's more than getting Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre on board. This is a big thing. Now, for the services that are out there, what was your favorite?
Beats.
And I find that interesting, too.
Yeah, and Spotify would be my second choice. Pandora, I'm a lot less interested in Pandora anymore. And I think Pandora's got some just basic business model problems that dealing with the way they're licensing music. It's like, it seems like the more traffic they get, the more money they lose. And in general, I think what we're heading towards is a future where the successful streaming services are all value-added services by large corporations like Amazon, Google, maybe Microsoft, Apple. And that it's going to make it very, very difficult for the independent companies to survive.
I think you're right, Brian. I see it coming too.
Okay, now I am, much to my surprise, a big fan of iTunes Radio. But before that, I used Pandora for a while and then just kind of lost interest. And I really tried to get into Rhapsody, and it's fine. It just, for whatever reason, I just couldn't really get into it. And then iTunes Radio comes along, and I was immediately hooked.
Yeah, I've enjoyed iTunes Radio myself, mainly because it was just right there.
That's a big part of it.
I'm willing to deal with the adverts. I think that Apple handles that pretty well. Dirty secret, I stopped using Pandora when they didn't take my old band's album. That's my dirty secret. And my old band's album is available on Beats Music. So, you know, that could be coloring my view.
I could see where that could play in a little bit. Nonetheless, have they contacted you yet to curate a playlist for them? Because they should.
No, certainly not.
I would listen the crap out of a playlist that you created. Aww,
aren't you sweet?
Yes, I am.
So, you know, some other takeaways. Do we need to go?
Give us a couple more takeaways and then we'll go.
So, you know, pretty much $10 a month is the most you're going to play. That's one thing. Apple is a surprising price leader on ad-free content at $25 a year. Everything is available on iOS and Android. Several things are available on BlackBerry. A bunch of stuff is available on Sonos. Most everything is available in browsers and or Windows. And the bottom line is that – Well, I don't know. But that just sounds so anticlimactic. The bottom line is that if you find a service that you like, that's got an interface that you like, that's doing the things that you like, you're probably going to be okay with whatever you choose, at least until that company either goes away or gets bought by a bigger competitor.
On one hand, that's anticlimactic, but on the other hand, well, it's still anticlimactic, but it's, I think you're totally spot on. So it sounds like the moral of the story is, now that you've done the hard work, people have a place that they can go to figure out what services to try, and then when they figure out which one actually works for them, stick with it until something better comes along.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, on that not-so-anticlimactic note, I think it's time to wrap up. John, thank you so much for joining me today.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian, thank you too.
You bet.
And thank you to all our listeners that are enjoying the show. You guys rock.